Welcome, everybody. This is Missions Month, as many of you know. And so we're going to, Colin sort of introduced it last week. I'm going to go down here. And so, as many of you know, my name's Kevin, and I'll be leading the sermon this morning and talking a little bit about Mission Aviation Fellowship, hence all the branding this morning. So I've got a jacket and a top as well. Angela's following suit. So this is just to focus a little bit of a report back about what's happening with MAF, Mission Aviation Fellowship, and some of the stuff that's been going on there, but also sort of trying to link it a little bit of where we're at the moment. So let's just open in prayer. Lord, we acknowledge that your mercies are new every morning, and we've got much to be grateful for here in New Zealand. And we thank you for the many freedoms and privileges we have. We thank you for that. But Lord, we also know there's many places in this world which are not as fortunate as us. And as we see some of these stories this morning, I just pray that you'll put on our hearts to continue to pray for those brothers and sisters who are in persecuted places where they don't have the privilege of freely worshipping you this morning. Lord, I just pray you be with them and you strengthen them and empower them to do what you've got for them to do in their context. We also pray for Malcolm and Wendy as they continue on their training course, that you be with them and empower them and strengthen them and speak to them and through them to those who you've brought along, and that you empower them for their ministry that they're going as they go out into the nations to share your gospel, your good news with the people that they come across. So Lord, to speak to us this morning, I pray you bless us that we can be a blessing to others. For everybody we come across, we can be bearers of light, of good news, of hope, health and healing to everybody we come across. In Jesus' name, amen. So you might just grab a glass of water there. So as I've said, my name's Kevin and I work for Mission Aviation Fellowship. I actually am based here in Christchurch, but I do a lot of my work remotely. I'll be talking a bit about what I do later on and how that connects, how I can do that based here in Christchurch. And so when a lot of people who are probably older than about 30 or 40 here of MAF, they think of the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries, now the prime, fortunately they changed their name, and we can have MAF back again. And so MAF stands for Mission Aviation Fellowship. And we're also, it's really important to understand why we do what we do, because we do what we do because we want to see isolated people changed by the love of Christ. That's our vision, and our mission is about serving together to bring help, hope and healing through aviation. That's why we do what we do. And when our staff are out there doing what they do, they can be that in their little context, but we mainly do that by empowering others and multiplying the effectiveness of other organisations to do that. So here's a quick overview. That's a little bit fuzzy. a quick overview of some of the places we work. So MAF is divided up into two major divisions, if you like. There's MAF US and MAF International. And so the red ones are where MAF International works, and that's where I actually interact with a lot of these people in the countries in red. And the dark blue is where MAF US primarily operates. And then we've got other resourcing nations and other places in the light blue. So whilst these might just look colours on the map or numbers on a page, these are real people with real needs in their location. These numbers and countries all represent isolated peoples being changed by the love of Christ. In many locations, the sound of the aircraft coming into land is a sound of hope. It reminds them that they're not alone and they can access both physical and spiritual hope when the MAF plane comes. My sister was up in the western end of Papua New Guinea in the 70s, and she always used to look forward to the sound of that little MAF plane coming up the valley on Fridays. It was her connection with the outside world, and it was the the way that she could get in medical supplies, just regular stuff that she couldn't grow there in the Highlands. It's very tropical, and so some of the stuff that staples that we would expect you simply can't get there because they won't grow because they're more tropical. And when the plane comes, it also can bring lots of, it also brings the gospel, the good news. Diane was up in the Western province up there to actually share, to not only meet people's physical needs, but their spiritual needs. And it was a combination of both physical and spiritual. And so that's very true for a lot of places. When the sound of the plane's coming, hope's coming. If you're in, if you've just cut some part of it, come part of your body with a, because you've fallen on a branch or something, and it's gone into your side. You need to get into hospital quickly, and these people just can't get there. And so that can be the sound of hope. So what drives us to do what we do? As mentioned, these are our vision and mission statements. But more than that, we see these five marks of mission as central to how we work out our vision and values, all centred around the Lordship of Christ. And this really comes out of that the great command to go and make disciples, to baptise them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very ends of the earth. And how does that connect? So MAF looks for ways to build the church through proclamation and evangelism and teaching, and which brings people to repentance, faith and obedience as disciples of Christ. And so they've got a couple of colour matches there. MAF serves people through compassion and justice in response to Jesus sending us into the world to love, to be salt and light in the world, to do good and to seek the welfare of the people that we're amongst. And as I said, we mainly achieve these marks of mission through partnering with others, although as I said, our MAF staff do look to extend God's kingdom in their location, in their context. And the other one I mentioned there is creation care. That is a big part of who we are. We're looking at ways of being responsible, how we, in creation. Interestingly enough, a lot of people saying aviation is an area where it's quite a significant carbon footprint, but a lot of mission organisations choose to fly with MAF because it's less of a carbon footprint than driving 14 hours in a diesel from A to B, and there's many risks associated with that. So when they analyse our carbon footprint compared with theirs, it's actually more economical and better for the environment to use a MAF plane. And so we are getting a lot of people engaging at that level. But we're also looking at emerging technologies to see if we can use electrical and hybrid operations, but that's still a way away as yet. As mentioned earlier, MAF operates, as you can see in that earlier map, MAF operates in around about 26 countries around the world. But today I'd like to share a few stories from Papua New Guinea, because that's one of the areas I've been to and we connect with. But in many ways, MAF, the operation in Papua New Guinea, is very much typical of MAF's operations elsewhere in the world. So we've got a short video, it just talks about the context of Papua New Guinea.
PNG is truly a textbook example of why mission aviation exists. The indigenous population of PNG is one of the most heterogeneous in the world. Ethnically and linguistically, it is the world's most complex nation, with about 1,000 people groups speaking approximately 830 languages, or 20% of the world's total. PNG's cultures have been molded by geography, successive waves of migration, sorcery, fear, and warfare. Accordingly, PNG has several thousand separate communities, many with only a few hundred people, divided by language, customs, and incredibly challenging geography. Many of these remote peoples are only accessible by days upon days of walking, in some cases rivers, or more reasonably, aircraft. PNG is truly a textbook example of why mission.
There's hope every time you see a school.
On? Can you hear me? Okay. All right, so I'm just going to just give you a little bit of an update as to one of the things that MAF has been supporting in Papua New Guinea. And you might remember a couple of years ago, we showed you a video about the MAF country director in Papua New Guinea, and he'd had a conversation with one of the head surgeons in a Baptist hospital, actually, in Kompion. I don't know if you remember this, but he talked to this head doctor and said, how can we support you? And what is it that you need to be able to reach the health needs of the people in the Enga and East Sepik area? And this doctor had basically just sort of hung his head and said, look, we've just got so much to do. Not only did they have the work in around Kopium, but he said they've got 9 communities in addition to that. Each community is several days walk away. He said there's just not enough days in the year to even get around all of these people. And so they kind of got dreaming and, you know, he said, look, we can't afford to pay for MAF. And the country director said, look, don't worry about the cost, just tell us what you need. So they basically came up with a plan that there would be 9 airstrips that they would visit every quarter. They'd drop off a team, they'd come back 2 days later and pick them up. That was 18 flights a quarter, so they'd go to 2 times to each community. That was 72 flights a year, and that was the beginning of the area health patrol. So that's been happening ever since, and actually God has provided the means for that to happen. He said they got to the end of the first year and they didn't know how it had happened, but somehow funds had come in, and they were able to meet these needs. So this is just a bit of a carry-on, a continuation from that. The little video that we're going to show you is not the area of health patrols, but it's actually that Kompion main hospital. But just to give you a little bit of context about the geography of the Enga province, it's in the highlands of PNG. So you can see on the previous map. previous map, okay, so the highlands, we can see the red dot is where the hospital is. It's the 100-kilometre trip between Mount Hagen, where MAF are based, and Kompion takes about 20 minutes in a MAF aircraft, but it takes about 6 hours by four-wheel drive, just to give you a bit of an idea. There are no roads to many of the places that Kompion Hospital serves, or the roads are impassable by vehicle at certain times of the year. Now, this is something that was I didn't get until I had been to PNG. In New Zealand, we're in a similarly mountainous country, and we just assume that there are roads to get places. But in Papua New Guinea, that's not the case. In actual fact, about 80% of the country doesn't have road access. So many places are only accessible by bush tracks and or a MAF plane flying into an airstrip in the surrounding areas. So an example of that, one of the little clinics that they do is Lipalama. It's just 16 kilometres away, but it actually takes 4 hours to walk there or a 5-minute flight. So imagine trying to walk 4 hours if you're a woman experiencing childbirth difficulties, or if you've had a snake bite, or if you've had a machete incident, which happens quite a bit, I have to say. Another example is Yimbaitok is a place where we fly medical staff into, and they run a medical clinic there. Here we can see a picture of the makeshift dental clinic there. So let's just take a moment to consider what life is like in some of these areas of PNG, just by thinking of maybe one health indicator. So if we think about child mortality, infant mortality, in New Zealand, we lose 3.5, there are 3.5 deaths per 1,000 life births. And, you know, each of those 3.5 is a tragedy. But in Papua New Guinea, there's 35 deaths per 1,000 life births. So it's 10 times worse than in New Zealand. If we think about another health indicator, which is another thing that MAF flights are often taking women in labour, if we think about women dying in childbirth, in New Zealand, that happens for 7 women per 100,000 live births. In Papua New Guinea, in the year 2000, there were 312 women in that situation. That has improved since then. It's now 192 per 100,000. And part of that improvement is because of the work of MAF and similar organisations and these hospitals, these mission hospitals. So the next little video is just about the work, a little bit of an insight into the work of Copium District Hospital. And, you know, just take a note of the fact that these people are not just coming here for physical help, they're actually coming for spiritual help. And the staff and the doctors pray with each patient. So I'd just like to watch this one.
There's hope every time you see a school. Hope for many good things. Hope for the future. Hope that the common disease that we see will reduce. Every time you educate someone, you're passing prevention messages to them.
Before, we don't have some children going to school or this kind of thing, but now they are much students, they go to school.
I teach them in the classroom. If anybody want to be a teacher, you will come and join me. I will be here because I am from this community.
I believe that God will bless us more than this. I am CHW, but they will become doctors and pilots and many more.
Me looking all Saint me. How sick and stop. School, street, and me looking and Saint.
What we do is mainly more preventative medicine. But then throughout the day, we also see patients who are quite sick and unable to make it to the hospital because it's quite far. For me, as a doctor, I give advice to the aid post, CHW, or nursing officer who's there at the health center. I think every opportunity that you get, you talk to them. So this is one of those opportunities. I remember all the other clinics that I've gone to. This is the only place that has a school, so. And it was good talking to the students. Everything about health is not only treating the disease, but it's emotional, social well-being, spiritual well-being as well. We pray with patients before we do operations, which is something unique here in Compton. And it also helps us as doctors to be better people and to see people as humans and not just patients.
Turn this on. So that's just a little snapshot of one of our partner organisations who we work with, who bring about health, hope and healing to those communities. There's 9 communities they serve, but we're actually doing a number of area health patrols now. And so I'm going to show you another video. This is a little bit of rapid fire videos, but it does give you a sense of the type of work that goes. In the next video, what you can see Matthias Glass, he's one of our senior pilots in PNG, and he's demonstrating the 4 marks of mission that we've seen before. Firstly, he's there primarily to deliver building supplies, to build things like schools and these health centres. But then he also makes the most of every opportunity by taking a thing called the Bible Box. And you'll recognise a little toolbox you can probably buy from Bunnings, but it's full of Bibles, teaching materials and glasses. People get old in PNG just like you and I, but they don't have access to reading glasses, so they can't do the fine work. And so you'll see a little occasionally ducking into the thing and giving out reading glasses. Hopefully that's about the right magnification, but it's possibly better than what they've got. So in the next one, we can see Matthias.
The little toolbox we call the Bible Box, and we carry the Bible Box to the bush people because in remote areas, the bush people have no way of going to town and going to a bookshop and a Christian bookshop to buy Bibles. So it's one of our ministry to actually fly the Bibles, Tokpisin Bibles or English Bibles, or even some additional books, Bible handbook, for example, to the bush people, and we sell them there.
Somebody more Bible is up. Bible, Bible, Tokpisin, Tekina, Tassol.
And the reason why we sell them is if we don't ask for a little bit of money, it's worth nothing. We have got an audio Bible as well, which is a solar Bible. You put it in the sun and it charges the battery. And then you can listen to the whole Bible in Tokpisin. And sometimes they put some worship songs on it or some Bible stories and Bible courses. And that is a little bit more expensive, but they like it because they can listen to a real voice. I expect that they ask for Bibles before I even open the box.
Yes, Bibles. We can start the Bible sale.
And that is what happens most of the time. They ask, Pilot, do you have Bibles? And I say yes, and I will sell them. And there will be a big crowd around me, most probably. And then I sell as many as I have in my box.
So there you can see a little bit of a snapshot of what it's like, you know, unloading the building supplies, but also the airstrips that they're flying into. Pretty remote places, pretty challenging. Some of them only 500 or 600 meters long, and can be pretty challenging for the pilots. I've got one more video I'd like to show, but it's actually of the. It's a place called Yakona, not Makona, Yakona. It's not yet. And so in the next story, we see Ryan Cole. He makes the first flight into a newly opened airstrip. Again, this demonstrates those four marks of mission. Since 1986, this small community had tucked away in the remote western province of Papua New Guinea, was building the airstrip with shovels, sticks, and picks in the sweat of their brow. So 1986, that's how long they've been going at it. And these people are joyful because they now have access to medical hope, education, some basic supplies and services. And it not only means that stuff can come in, but they can actually send some crops out and make a little bit of money and income to get some of the stuff that we take for granted. You might wonder why building an airstrip could take so long, and it's because of the manual nature of the work in some of these remote locations. You just can't put bulldozers and heavy equipment in the back of one of those MAF planes or a helicopter. It just doesn't work. So a lot of it has to be done manually, but when it gets to a certain size, we can perhaps get a helicopter in there with the Rural Airstrips Association to help out. But we actually have to have fairly tight requirements into these airstrips, and to make sure that they're safe. So in this next video, you're going to see a person called from the Rural Airstrips Association and as part of the opening ceremony. The Rural Airstrips Association is an organisation that MAF set up and around about 10 years ago, and the purpose of that is to actually maintain these airstrips in these remote locations. In previous times, a lot of missionaries knew the value of an airstrip and made sure they were well maintained, but as they started to pull out, they started to fall into disrepair. And so now MAF set up the Rural Airstrips Association, and we get full funding from the government to maintain remote airstrips, and that's our job, because it's not only MAF who flies on there, but also other organisations. So the RAA is a fully funded government organisation, but it's managed by MAF. So MAF has the job of overseeing it. Anyway, so next video. Oops, we'll go back one. Oh, sorry.
Thank you. ABM, Libertarian. Around that is the place in which Muslim, Hela, Makla, Hela, Islam, Western, of the sundown. We have finished down, finished the Hela. On the side, look, sir, of Mipla. But looking Muslim, Gori, Maki, Plano, come crooked in Palusla here, the look, sir, of one of the people have started here. So we have to thank you. Thank you, long, partner, one them, for share. We have come here, we have come crooked. We have scary Muslim, we have carry blessing. Ika.
So there you can see a little snapshot of some of the work that goes on there. So just let that sink in a moment. You know, the guy said nobody knew we were here. It reminds me of that story of Hagar when she fled into the wilderness in Genesis 16 and said, "You are a God who sees me." And because of the work of MAF and your support, those people know that God sees them too. And that's so important. God sees you. And these people are very grateful for that, for so much that we take for granted every day. A lot of people, you say, well, what do you do in Christchurch? Well, because I've already been up in Cairns and visited many of these programs, I've already got established relationships with a lot of these people. And so it's very easy for me to do a lot of my work remotely. And that airstrip that they were talking about, it said it takes a long time to build an airstrip. And there's lots of, we actually have standards of airstrips. One of my jobs a few years ago was actually working on creating those standards to make sure those aircraft are safe, because we'd actually damaged a lot of airplanes where airstrips weren't up to standard. It costs you a lot of money, millions of dollars, when you damage two planes within a few months of each other when the airstrips aren't up to standard. So I got involved in that. And so there is a connection with that. It takes a long time to build the airstrips, but we need to make sure they're safe. And so there's a lot of other stuff I do. We're sort of running a little bit late in time here, but I also look at quality and safety databases and look at reports. I look at regulations which are coming in. A lot of this stuff is available on the internet, and so I can do that stuff remotely. For example, here's a picture of some people getting out of an aeroplane, and you just notice down the back of the aeroplane there's a red bit of metal that's under the tail. It's really important that's there on the 208, because when people are getting back, the aeroplane does this, tonk. And when it does that, the plane's out of service. It usually punches a hole through the bottom of the tail, and the aeroplane can be out of service 3 to 4 months and do about $100,000 worth of damage. And so that's a tail stand, and it's really important that it's in there. And so as I'm going through the database a couple of years ago, I start to see a couple of reports in PNG where they forgot to put the tail stand in. Oh, that's interesting. Isolated event. Somebody in Uganda did the same thing. Okay. Kenya, South Sudan. And so I'm saying, hang on a minute, we've actually got a lot of these things cropping up. And whilst they might be isolated incidents to one one program, they're not organisationally. So I brought that to the attention of our training people, and they then made sure that we reinforced the programs, make sure you put the tail stand in every time. And so since then, about a few months after that, no more reports about tail stands being missed. And so those actions, by just bringing it to people's attention, actually has averted some major events. I could talk about a number of other things, but because of those things we've averted, we've actually managed to put a lot of our money for insurance payments into a self-insurance program. And so actually we've saved thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars actually because of our quality and safety record. But I do want to say thank you. It's in your partnership with the MAF and with me that that you are all making a difference. You're part of that story because this church has very generously supported myself and the MAF over the years, even through the difficulties of the earthquake here. I'm very grateful, and MAF is very grateful, and we do want to say thank you to you guys. That's a partnership, and without people like you supporting us, it just wouldn't happen. So again, thank you. But in closing, I do want to just say that we all serve in mission, no matter where we are. You can be part of a life transformed right here by sharing the gospel of that good news. With a friend, you can invite them to an Alpha course, as I said, we're coming up in a few weeks' time. You can invite them along. I've seen people's lives transformed by the gospel and as a result of the Alpha course. As they become a follower of Jesus, they learn to love God and love their neighbour, and things start to make sense. Lives have improved. Sometimes it doesn't always necessarily get easier once you become a Christian, but actually as you follow Jesus, life starts to make sense. Or maybe you're sitting there thinking, I'd like to serve with MAF, but I'm not a pilot or an engineer. Or maybe you think, I'd like to get involved in something like that as some other mission, but I don't have those skills. Actually, missions need lots of different sorts of people to operate. We need managers, HR people, IT, all those sort of support things. At the moment, we've got a big need for program managers, IT people, and the like. And other missions would also have those same sort of needs. So if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, wouldn't mind getting involved in that, maybe come and have a chat to me afterwards or pray about it. But then finally, just if you're sitting there and thinking, my problems are too big, I can't cope with what's going on here without pulling up tent pegs and heading overseas, I don't know what to do. Or I don't even know if anybody cares. You know, God sees. He does care. So just remember, like Hagar and like the community representatives at Yacona, God does see you. And after the service, we're going to have... we're going to finish with a song or just leave it? No. Nope. Okay, so just as we're finishing, we're going to have some people come up the front and be available to pray with you. But don't forget have we got a benediction for today?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll probably say the benediction, but also the service can continue after we're finished here by just meeting together, having a cup of tea, encouraging each other, or being prayed, have a time of prayer. It's important that we just journey together, pray for each other, walk together, and encourage each other. So let's just say the benediction together. Our worship has not ended, it has only just begun. For God is with us every moment of every day. Go then, and after worship, He desires. Go do justice, to love, to kindness, and to walk humbly with Him every step along the way. Thank you. If you need prayer, can't be here. Thank you.